Hallelujah. Woo! Miss Candy, bringing it to the house. Hallelujah. David said, "The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. He liveth." David knew what Miss Candy sang 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. He liveth. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Liveth to what? To do whatever he said he could do. Ask Goliath if God liveth. Ask the Philistines if God liveth. That word, that salvation, that word is so broad, but we've limited that word. Oh my God, I love hearing that song. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Jesus, we worship you. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Matt, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify your name, Lord. Oh, the Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted. We worship you, Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Worship you, Jesus. I worship you. Praise you. I give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord. Worship you, my God, my rock, my strength, my salvation, my soft answer, my wisdom, my healer, my savior, redeemer, my comforter, the edifier, the baptizer, the transformer. We worship you, Jesus. You are who you say you are, Lord. You are who you say you are, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify your name, Jesus. We glorify your name, Jesus. Glorify your name, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of glory. You're worthy of honor. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. 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 Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glorify your name. Glorify you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus.
In the choir.
Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Yes. Wow. Blessed be the Lord. Contrary to, I guess, public belief, I went through a certain story in the Old Covenant the other day about King Jehoshaphat, and I've always believed a certain way about worship. You're going to have to really listen to what I'm saying. Don't pass judgment on what I'm saying until I'm done, and then you'll understand what I mean when I'm done. I've always believed that King Jehoshaphat, when the armies came, the mass army came to destroy his kingdom, that he worshiped the Almighty God to baptize his emotion, to believe that he could win the war. But that's not true. That's not what the scripture says. The Bible says that King Jehoshaphat received the word prior, before he worshiped God, that he would win the battle. Now you might say, well, this is contrary to what Pastor said. No, it's not. Because the Old Covenant saint had to hear through a prophet or through a seer or through a priest the word of God, whether he should go, stay, fight or not. So when he heard the word of the Lord that he would be victorious, then he worshiped Jesus. Now listen carefully now. Or you might say that's contrary to what Pastor said. No, it's not. What Pastor said was so right on and so perfect. You see, he had to inquire. He had to inquire of the Lord whether he would be victorious or not. We've already got the answer here. That's why we worship him now, because somebody's already inquired for us. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's already inquired for us, sent back the letter, and it lies in our lap every single day. Somebody's inquired for me and you already, therefore we must and want to worship God, because we win, my friends. We win. No ifs, and buts about it. Jehoshaphat worshiped after he heard the report that he was going to win. We've already received the report that we won every battle. So why wouldn't we want Why wouldn't we want to worship God like Pastor says? We have it here. It's been written. Blood has been shed for this book. People have been martyred, killed, slaughtered, beaten, sliced in half, sawed asunder for this book right here. He is all that He says He is, but He is only is to me and you what we believe He is to me and you. Listen to that. He is who He says He is, but He only is to me and you what we believe He is to me and you. The Lord liveth. The God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. He's alive. He is alive. I'm just waiting. You know, you think you know what you're going to say before you come up, and then you get up here and it really means nothing, what you thought you had. As a corporate church, as a corporate body, we've gotten past your 1/5 of what He's asked us to do, correct? And we think it's a way of life now in the corporate body of Christ. Went up to Texas and just got back. I was there for 9 or 10 days and had a good time. I went to a church and had a good time. Going back in March, I haven't even told Pastor. I don't think I told my wife. I can go back and do about a 3-day camp meeting for him, Pastor, at a church. I'm looking forward to going, preaching the gospel. There'll be a lot of kids there. A lot of things that are preached there are a little off the wall, but the young man that's doing the preaching, he's praying in tongues, and I figure it's just a matter of time before he gets it right. But he's got a genuine love for Christ. But we've gotten 1/5 of what Christ asked us to do right as a body. You know, you hear Pastor talk about miracles so much and what's coming, and my God, I saw it in Texas. I think I was in the park just meditating the scriptures, and that's part of the commission, man. Jesus said, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But we stopped at that as a body of Christ. We stopped there. We have limited that word salvation. We have limited our God so much. But He said, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But then He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. You won't take it to the extreme. He said, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. My friends, that is the will of the Almighty God. We've taught the gospel. We've said the kingdom of God is at hand. We've said you must be born again, because that's easy. That's easy to say. But we've disannulled the latter part of Matthew 10, verse 7. The corporate body in general has disannulled the rest. Man, Jesus Christ is our sufficiency. He's all that any man or woman could ever, ever need. Best friend, the comforter, the edifier, the exhorter, wisdom, healer. He is all that we need. We've gotten 1/5 of what He said and commanded us to do right. We've got 1/5 of it right. When I read that portion of Scripture, I just cried. I just cried. I said, God, there's so much more than what You've asked us to do, Lord. I mean, I've known that and remembered it, but it wasn't part of me. The words are in red. Those are the words of Christ. Amen. Thank God that we're taught that this is the will of God. Thank God that we're all taught Him. That we're all taught correct. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn your Bible with me to 1 John real quick. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm hungry, so it'll be short. You just can't preach when you're hungry, man. It's a joke. That's a joke. It's always only a joke. Now, how do you do it when you fast? I don't fast. So I wouldn't know. So. That wasn't part of Matthew 10, verse 7. That's a joke. Another joke. That's a joke. Hallelujah. Can you open it, Miss Candy? I'm just on. Governor Palin. Hallelujah. That's an inside joke. Hallelujah. You know, how can you go from the anointing of being carnal? I can do it real quick, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. I had a good time in Texas with my sister. I had a good time. I had a real good time. I'm glad, but there ain't no place like home. And I put this on Facebook. I know some of you on here I chat with on Facebook a little bit. I put on there, I had a good time, but I said, you might think I'm arrogant, but they ain't nobody got the thump like we got here. The anointing, just so you'll know. Nobody, I mean, it's just, it's so good to be home. You don't learn to appreciate what we have here, man. What we have here is so special. So special. There's no place like my physical dwelling or my home, my church. There's just no place like it. If there is, I haven't been in there yet. Let me rephrase. I haven't been in a church yet. What we're taught. Thank God, though, we're in the right place. Amen. While I was in Texas, I don't even think I told my wife. I really haven't even talked much about it. I had two different encounters with two different people. I was at an outlet store buying my wardrobe. That's where I get all my clothes at in Texas. It's real cheap, my kind of store. I had a guy come to me. He was and you know, you just take things for what they're worth. But I've learned over time that you can learn from anybody. You know, you just, when you hear when somebody gives you a word or whatever outside of this body, it's like eating a watermelon. You just eat the watermelon and just, you know, spit out the seeds. I had a guy come to me, started prophesying to me. He gave me a verse out of Habakkuk, is that how you say it, Pastor? Habakkuk? And he started prophesying to me. And I just, you know, I didn't say nothing. You know, he started saying, well, God's going to put you in a place of leadership and he's going to double your anointing, blah, blah. I said, okay, well, I'll take, you know, the leadership part, that doesn't, you know, that don't really faze me too much, you know. And then I had another young man told me that God was going to double the youth group and that he was going to give me my own church within a year, which, you know, this is my church, you know. But you just take things, I mean, you just take things for what they're worth. They said some other things that ministered to me. I just took it and, you know, I didn't take it to heart because that's not my heart. And my description from his is stay here to sit under this man until we receive an outpouring. Having a church of your own, what is a physical building? What is that? I mean, who cares? I mean, and they just shared their heart with me. And one said, you're going to be in leadership. I said, wait a minute, I'm already in leadership. I'm the associate pastor. But you just take it for what it's worth. You know, you just... So, you know, you just, you know, and out of the blues, they just started saying that. And I just, but it leads me. It really leads me to 1 John. I believe that once we can grasp 1 John, 2 John, and John 13 through 17, if we can grasp it and operate out of that book, I believe that revival will just, it'll just pour out. We can learn to walk in His love. That's the secret to revival, for me and you to grasp and comprehend really what love is. Really, the church in general doesn't have a clue really what love is. They really don't. You know, it's so important. It's so important for me and you to stay in the Word. It's vital. Because you know what? Society doesn't read. They don't read the Bible. You know the, do you know the only Bible they will ever read is what? Is me and you. So it's so important to walk in His love, because society, the heathen, doesn't read the Bible. The only Bible they will ever read is me and you. And that's good and bad. That's good and bad. But thank God that we have Christ Jesus, the perfect example of what me and you should be. There's a reason in 2 John that the writer said Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. See, we're sons and daughters of the truth when we confess Jesus Christ as Redeemer. Right there and then, we become sons and daughters of the Most High God in truth. But you know that the majority of the body of Christ can live being born again, having truth inside of it, and still live a terrible, miserable life. 1 John said, "These things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you." But he said, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. In truth and in love. You know, I was real disappointed last night. I talked to the pastor. The body of Christ, it scares me. The sinners, they don't scare me. Because we know what they're capable of. We know what they can do. We know that the things of the world can consume them. So nothing that a sinner does should surprise me and you. But the body of Christ is getting real scary, man. It's real scary. You know, I was on Facebook last night for a little bit, and I was real shocked at the way a certain individual was being handled on Facebook, making reference to Tim Tebow. Of course, everybody at the Florida Gator quarterback. I had to call Pastor. How Christians that I thought that were strong were just ripping this young man. Ripping him. And I typed something up, and I was going to hit enter, but I didn't because my conscience just didn't let me. But here a young man preaches abstinence, serves and loves the only true Almighty God. What does a kid have to do to be respected in the Christian circle? To wear his pants underneath his butt? To write perverted lyrics about women and degrading them? Is that what this has become? But a young man makes a stand, loves Jesus Christ, and the body of Christ is ripping him. That's sad. But that's where the body of Christ is headed, Pastor, because although we're born again, we're just sons and daughters in truth, which it's sufficient. But with that truth inside of me and you comes something else. See, me and you get born again. I got born again 16 years ago. I became a son of God in truth. The truth, the Word of God abides in me the day I got born again. But out of that unction, if God is on the outside, I'm not saved. God is on the outside. I believe my grandmother prayed me into the kingdom of God. I really do. And I'm unregenerate. I'm not born again. And God is hovering around me. And my grandmother's calling down heaven in my life because she knew what I was. And my grandma died in her sleep, Pastor, with her Bible open. That's where we all need to go. With her Bible open at the age of 90 with a little flashlight. She went home reading the Bible. No pain. So love is on the outside. We're not born again. We're not regenerated. We're spiritually dead people. So God's on the outside, and God is love. Love is on the outside now. It's not in here. I come to my knees and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All of a sudden, the love, the external love that God is, all of a sudden comes and lives where? Inside my spirit. I become at that moment a son of God in truth, because I confess the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then immediately the unction, the born again spirit comes and abides in me. I'm born again. His DNA lives inside of me. So the external love that was outside was out there. God was out there. But God is, He doesn't walk in love like Pastor Dave says. He is love. So love comes and abides in my spirit. I am a son of God in truth. But we got to take it one step further, man. He said, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. So the truth comes and abides in me. How did the truth get in me? Because I confessed and believed with my heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I became a son of God in truth. But 2 John said that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in truth and in love. So if love was out there, I said yes to Jesus, then love came and made his abode in here. I became a son of God in truth. But it doesn't stop there, my friends. If love comes and lives inside of me, in every moment of my life, every week of my life, every month of my life, every year, every second, every minute, I'm going to face situations. And if love was out there and I said yes to Jesus, then love came and made his abode inside my spirit. But it's just not there just to dwell there. It's there to come out of my spirit to instruct me on my day-to-day operations. Every day, business-wise, husband-wise, family-wise, man-wise, love is in my spirit. Everything that comes out of my born-again spirit is love. There's not one thing that comes out of my spirit that isn't love. That, my friends, is love. A hug is a fruit of love. But I've had people hug me that I know don't like me. Think about it now. Oh, well, that he bought him a hamburger. That's not love. It is to a fruit of love, but the love in reference, in context to 1 John, is the instruction that comes out of your born-again spirit. Love was outside. I said yes to love. Love went from out there to in here. And now it's in here, and now it comes out. But it comes out of my spirit to be obeyed. So love comes out of my spirit. And everything that comes out of my spirit is love. If it's love and I disannul it, then I just walked in hate. We've missed what love is in the body of Christ. We've missed it completely in general. He said, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Jesus said something so remarkable. He said, the way I have loved you, go ye and love the same. How'd you love me, Jesus? He loved me as a man out of his born again spirit. He said, the way I loved you and gave my life for you, I want you to go and love out of that same unction that I love you with. I want you to love the brethren out of the same unction that me and my Father put inside of you. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by the love that you walk in. Who loved who first? Did I love Jesus first or did he love me first? Jesus loved me first. I gave my life to this righteous, holy God because he loved me first. Think about that now. Jesus loved me first. Jesus loved me first. And I, in return, I accepted his invitation. I acknowledged him as Lord and Savior because he loved me first. Jesus Christ is no longer here. He's with the Father. He abides in our spirit. So basically, I lived because of his love. Because he loved me first, I live. But then he told me to love you the way he loved me. He loved me first, therefore I live and serve him. But he told me and you to love each other the same way he loved us through that unction. Are our brothers, are our enemies living through our love? Is our testimony for sale? See, the way I've loved you, you live the same way. How'd you love me, Jesus? I loved you out of that unction. Everything that God instructed me to do towards you, out of my spirit, I did. And I want you, sons and daughters, to love the same way that I loved you. You can never go wrong. We can never go wrong by obeying the inner witness. Sometimes love hurts. But you can never go wrong obeying the inner witness. That, my friends, is what love is. Love last night was I could have hit enter on my BlackBerry to get sarcastic with somebody about what they said about Tim Tebow. But righteousness cried out from within. Love cried out and said, no, Homer. See, the day's coming where I won't even want to react. That's the perfect will of God. That's the perfect will of God. But I still know him enough, Pastor, to just keep my mouth shut. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Everything that the Almighty God instructed Jesus Christ to do as a man came out of that unction. There's only one way to abide in Jesus Christ. That's by obeying the unction. There's no other way. That's why he speaks about the Antichrist in 1 John. You know, he says, after we're born again, to keep his commandments. Plural. Well, you can't keep the commandments till you keep the commandment. Singular. If I keep the commandment, I'm a son in truth. But he don't ask me and you to keep his commandments till we keep his commandment. Singular. And confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then I'm qualified and I can and I got the capacity to keep his commandments singular. You can't do the latter without the first one. You can't keep his commandments without keeping the commandments. That's why the Antichrist, that's why any religion that opposes Jesus Christ in the flesh, they can't please God because they cannot keep his commandments because they've disannulled the commandment that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why our friends across the street, they can't please God because they're unregenerate. They're not born again. But me and you can keep his commandments because we've kept his commandment and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Almighty God and he is his Son. He is our sufficiency. And we have an unction, and if we abide in that unction, if we live out of that unction, I'm telling you, my friends, revival is just right around the corner. But it's only by obeying love. It's only by obeying love. What is love? Whatever comes out of your spirit. Whatever instruction from him that comes out of your spirit. A great man of God that I love and respect made this saying famous, my friends, we have been born again. The best, most powerful thing or person that Satan could ever have cannot match up with what we have. The best in the old covenant times that Satan had to offer was Goliath. What did a 5'2" young man do with a slingshot? He killed the best that Satan had. In 1 John, the best that Satan had was defeated by a little child. He said, little children, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The fact that I'm born again lets me know that no weapon this side of hell can consume me. Goliath was the best that he had to offer. A 5'2" Rudy man killed him with a slingshot. In 1 John he says, little children, immature ones in God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Who was in the world? The spirit of Antichrist, Satan. He said, the moment you got born again, you won. Greater is he that's in you, little children, than he that's in the world. Little children. Of course, he had the young men and the fathers. He said, little children. Not age-wise, but those that had just been converted. He said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. We are sons of God in truth. We must take it to the next step. We must be sons of God in truth and in love. What is love? Obeying whatever comes out of that inward witness. That, my friends, is what love is. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Not by what you could say from a pulpit, by the love that we walked in, people would know that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's funny how he put deed in front of truth, but actually deed is the fruit of walking in truth. In other words, he said, in my opinion, don't love religiously with a Bible verse. He said, but indeed and in truth. If I love you indeed and in truth, I just obey the inner witness, my friend. I obeyed the instruction that God gave me for that certain application during that time in my life. We have a choice every single day to walk in His love, which is obeying the inward witness. But if we disannul love, then we walk in hate. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. If I can't obey the inner witness, there's no joy in my life. There's no joy at all in my life if I can't walk according to His righteousness that lies within my spirit. He said in 1 John, these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. He was writing to Christians, or else how could a joy be full that wasn't there? So the joy was there. He said, this is the instruction that I'm giving to you as a father. I'm showing you how to live a happy, prosperous life in Him. What, John, what? Walk in love. Walk in love. What's love, John? Obeying everything that comes out of that inner witness. We've been well equipped. We've been well equipped. We have been so well equipped. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. The moment that me and you got born again, there was instruction for me and you. The moment you got born again, Melody, immediately when you got born again, Jesus said, Melody, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. As a little child, we're victorious over any spirit from hell. My God, we're bad people, bad as in good. Strong, mighty, valiant, powerful, sound, strong, because of who He is. I don't have to be nobody. I got one objective in this world, that's to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Jesus said it, and I'm almost done. He said, if any man will come after me, let him who would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Listen to that verse now. If anyone would come after me, let him, the one who chooses to be a disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Our mindset, anything in us that opposes this. See, this is the thing. The corporate body thinks because they feel it, they must operate out of what they feel. An emotion is just a feeling, man. It's just a feeling. Just because you feel it don't mean you got to do it. We got power over what we feel. Yeah, there's stuff in me that still opposes God's word. There's still stuff in me that doesn't believe His word. But that doesn't mean I have to act according to what I feel. I've been born again. He told me as a little child, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I don't have to do what I feel if it doesn't line up with God. I still got the power within me to say no, to oppose what I feel. It's just a matter of having enough word in you. Not even that. Let me retract that statement. You're born again. You only have to have word in you. You got the power and DNA of Christ to say to overcome any emotion. Any name. You have the power. You have the power, the simple fact that you're born again. We got the power to overcome this world. We got that power. Anything. Anything. We got the power. Why? Because we have been born again. But He's asked me and you to deny ourselves, to deny our agendas, to deny the pride that Peter had before he wrote that, to deny ourselves of anything that opposes the Almighty God. I said the other day, I said, Lord, I want you to break me. I want that contrite heart and that contrite spirit that Psalms 34, just show me my error, Lord. Because it's kind of hard to look at your own error if you're not looking for it. I said, Lord, show me my error. Show me where I'm missing it. Show me where I can be a better father, a better husband, a better person, Lord. Show me my error. Show me to deny myself. Teach me how to take up my cross and to follow you daily, Jesus. See, we have no rights as human beings. The only right we have, the only want that we should ever have is to serve the Almighty King. And His name is Jesus Christ. This is for me and you. If any man would come after me, Jesus said, let him who desires to come after Christ, let him deny himself. Of what? Of anything that opposes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of anything that opposes him, of the pride, arrogance. My friends, he is our sufficiency. According to Isaiah, he said, our soul has been filled with abundance. He was making reference to the rebirth. The moment that I got born again, my soul was filled with abundance. He is our sufficiency. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Follow his footsteps down to Jerusalem. Follow his way of life. When opposition was there in the face of Christ, he could have chose love or he could have chose hate. But he chose to love. When accusations were brought forth to Christ, he had a choice to love or a choice to hate. And he chose love. He said, follow me. Do what I do. He wasn't so much in to say what I say. We say too much in the body of Christ. We say way too much. And we leave out the doing. We just say way too much. And we leave out the doing. He said, follow me. Do as I do. Love as I love. Embrace as I embrace. He is the perfect prototype of what me and you need in our life. That's to encounter the risen Savior. And to know Him. And to obey His voice. And to want to obey more than anything on the face of this earth. Now I don't walk in everything that I preach. I'm far from being perfect. But if we keep doing what we're doing in Him, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Jesus, on a consistent basis, his whole life, he walked in the love of God as a man. You got to picture him doing that as a man. If not, it'll do nothing to you. When he overcame temptation, he did it as a man. When he overcame opposition, he did it as a man with a born-again spirit like me and you. We are the only Bible, my friends, that will ever be read by some people. You got to grasp that, man. We're the only Bible that will ever be read by society. It's so vital for me and you to walk in the love of the Almighty God. It's our life. It's our life. I was flying over there, and I'm done in about 5 minutes for real. As I was flying over there to Texas, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know why. No, I do know why. Thank you, Lord. There's a Jehovah's Witness sitting next to me. And he wanted to get into a debate. I didn't, though. See, you thought I did. Uh-huh. Yeah. I obeyed the unction. You thought I got into a debate with him. I wanted to so bad. He told me he loved to debate because I had my iPod on. And I'm 41 years old. I like a little bit of Christian rap. Now, I ain't gonna lie. Now, I like to move my head a little bit. And as you can see, I can break it down too, right, Pastor, last night? Well, in my own mind, I can break it down. I know who can't break it down. That's all. Yeah. No rhythm whatsoever, man. I don't forgot what I was going to say. I was on the plane, and I'm done. And he's, you know, the airplane seats are kind of little. This guy was, he filled the seat up. Let me just say that. And then some, you know. I was in D, he was in E, but he was in D and in C at the same time. Man, he said, what you hearing there? I said, I'll just hear a little bit of Christian music. You're a Christian? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I sort of figured that. I seen the screen on your iPad. He said, I like arguing with Christians. Oh, that's exactly what he said. I love to debate with him. I said, well, and I had to listen first, because my first thing was, okay, buddy, let's go at it. But I was quiet for like 10 or 15 seconds. I let him talk. And then I didn't want to think I was ignoring him. And then I was just quiet, just listening. And I didn't say nothing for 10 or 15 seconds. I didn't say nothing. I said, well, I used to like to debate too, but it just generates strife. So, I didn't say nothing. And then I wanted to touch him. No, touch him. No, not like that. No. See? Somebody's not obeying love. But I started crying, Pastor, after the 10 or 15 seconds I was quiet, and he was there reading a book, and I wanted to cry loud. I wanted to cry so loud I couldn't hold it in. So I just, put my earphones back on, and I put on a worship song. I didn't want to hear rap at that time, Christian rap. I wanted to hear a nice worship song. I think I heard that song by Clint Brown. I love to worship you. That's my favorite, because there's no words involved. Just, I love to worship you. That's what worship is to me. It's not an imagination of words. It's just I love you, Jesus. And I began to worship God. Pastor, I wanted to yell and scream, because I felt, I know it was intercession. It was so strong. And I was like this and covering myself up and doing all kinds of things. And I said, Lord, what do I tell this man? And I wanted to cry and yell and scream. And there was a compassion in my spirit that I couldn't explain. And I said, I'm going to touch him, because I wanted him to feel what I felt. But I didn't want to touch him too much, because he was big. He's a big man. He was a wrestler. I didn't stand a chance. But I said, I'm going to touch him. I was crying, and I just wanted to touch. I want him to feel Jesus in me is what I want him to feel. So I just stay right there, and just like this. I was like this, because there's an aisle. Just like that. And I was wanted to cry and yell, man. Like, oh, God, Jesus, I worship you. I praise you. Ooh, I don't know. And then I went, like this. Put my hands down. And his knee was on, so I just put my knee on him, left it there, and I started praying. Just started praying and praying. And then a stewardess walked up, and she tapped me like this. God, lady, I'm fixing to pray for this guy. And it was awesome. This is the first time it's ever happened in my life. And it felt good, and it really inspired me. Because I held my emotion back so much, Pastor. I held it back. Of course, we're taught it's just not the place to go all crazy in front of 200 people on a plane, man. So I held it in. I would have scared the mess out of him, man. Think about it. Now, who is this Mexican? I don't want the Jesus that he's talking about. So I had to, and it was hard. It was hard holding it in, because I felt, God, I felt virtue. It felt powerful. So I just touched him like that, and I began to pray for him. And then the stewardess comes up. What could she possibly want? She's done walked by me 20 times already. Now, in matter of fact, I asked her for a Pepsi an hour before that. Honestly, I'm not adding. I asked her for a Pepsi. And I never got my Pepsi. I said, what, lady here? Yes, ma'am. Okay. She said, I just got to tell you. She said, I just got to tell you, never in my life has anybody told me that. I just got to tell you, there is something around you. Just like that, Pastor. I said, oh my God. See, there's just something. I feel. And she was a stewardess. Out loud in front of everybody. I didn't know how to react to that statement. She said, there's just something. She went, about you. Just like that. Sort of like the way Miss Candy was moving just last night. And I didn't know what to say, man. I've always been told before that I was too grouchy. Now they're telling me they can feel the presence of God around me. I didn't know how to react. And I said, I stuttered. I said, I don't know. But what are you listening to? I said, I'm some Christian music. Oh, my God. She said, I got to have what you have. What do you got in your iPod? And I didn't know what I was listening to. I couldn't even answer it. I said, Christian music. She said, oh, God, it feels so good. But then I put my knee on that guy. Yeah, I felt cocky then. I felt, yeah, you finna get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost on this plane, buddy. Yeah, I went from there and got him. I prayed quietly though. He was too big. But before he done, he didn't get saved now, but before you know it, I developed a friend. And I made this promise to myself and to the Lord Jesus Christ that I will pray for him every single day. He went from wanting to debate the scripture to, he told me Christians make me sick. That's what he told me. And it's a crying shame, Pastor. But I told him, I said, you know what? I got to agree with you a little bit on that. He said, the church makes me sick. All they preach is money. I said, I got to agree with you on that too. I did tell him though, I said, there'll be a Christian somewhere that'll walk in enough love to make you change your mind about God. We're the only Bible that some people will ever read. Now guys, I'm far from being a revivalist. Not yet. Well, I know Pastor Brown said, change your confession, don't say that. You're a revivalist. That's what he's saying right now. Wrong. You did good until then, Homer. Yeah. Did you not think that? But I guess what I'm saying is, I know I got issues. Let me rephrase. I know I got to still deny myself a lot more. And we're all going to here. What's the more of all this? Love. Now, a year ago, I would have debated with him. I would have proved him wrong from the scriptures. I would have proved him wrong. Because I know those certain areas of scripture where I can defend myself. But for what? To show my pride, to show what every other Christian would have done. We say way too much. Oh, we say way too much. But I touched him and I know he felt something. Because the stewardess felt it. And I never got my Pepsi. But the more of what I'm saying is, one guy, I'm done for real. One guy said to me, I seen him, he said, Homer, I said, what? He said, I need all your contacts with all pastors. He said, because I want to preach. I said, wow, my pastors told me never to beg for no meetings or to preach. And he showed me his Mercedes Benz and was paid for it. He told me that he wanted a two-story house. And my mind said, it's my God, I think I'm growing closer to Jesus. And that's the last thing I think about is a bigger house. Pastor, it doesn't line up with this. Now, I need a bigger house because I got 100 kids. He is why we live. In deed and in truth. It means nothing. Yeah, I could have debated with him, Pastor. I'm far from being a Gary Carpenter, but I can defend myself in the word if I have to. But what? To show what I knew? He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The unction instructed me that day to be quiet. I didn't quite obey it. I was supposed to hug him, but I couldn't. He was too big. I was scared. He's going to hit me. But I put my knee on him. And before we left, we were friends. We were friends. And he's blessed, Pastor, because he's got a person that's going to pray for him until he gets born again. You think about that. He's blessed. He found him a prayer partner. Somebody's going to pray for him until he gives his life to this one man that we serve and love so much, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It was fantastic. Why don't you lift your hands and give God the glory. Father, we love you. We worship you. Praise and magnify you. Thank you for all good things that proceed from above. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You want to bring those offering buckets up? Matt, if you'll give me some lights. Let me just exhort you for a moment. You can turn that melody off, although I love it as well. Turn with me real quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We were looking at this verse in this particular portion of Scripture a couple of weeks ago. How many of you have had a good time this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Myself included. Glory. You get to go out to a beautiful day, wonderful skies and a beautiful temperature. Hallelujah. So we're going to get ready to give this morning. And just want to direct your attention in understanding why you're giving, what you're giving. And let's just follow along here in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9, and let's look at verse 6. And we're, of course, not going to cover all the different avenues that we could go, but the Lord wants us to look at something kind of just for a moment out of verse 8. Beginning in verse 6, Paul writes, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able." Everybody say, "He is able." And now let's say this part. God is not only able, He is willing. Hallelujah. "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work." Now, if you'll look up for a moment, the good work specifically that he is talking about here, sometimes we can generalize things and it doesn't take it out of context. He is specifically talking about giving here. And of course, you could take it and build fruit around it to a lot of different things. But specifically, he is talking about one church was giving funds to another church. And Paul is a living epistle of what he preaches. Just like Homer was just talking about, we are the only Bible, we are the only epistle that many people ever see and read. Now, the church was also privy to the fact that Paul was writing things, but he was also living what he was writing. And what you'll find is Paul was very bold in his taking up offerings. But the beautiful part was he could do that because it didn't stop with Paul's ministry. It went someplace else. Paul received so that he could pass it on to somebody else. Isn't that wonderful? And so that's a That's a major difference than what you see in the church world today and in many offerings being taken up. The buck usually stops there. And it's not wrong for it to come into a local assembly when they're trying to propagate the gospel. I'm not arguing against that. I'm just saying the whole of everything that was created in us was of the nature that Paul was receiving from the Corinthians so he could take it into Jerusalem and feed the poor there and feed the church there. This wasn't for Paul's ministry per se. This wasn't for so Paul could have something bigger or something better. And none of that is wrong to an extent. But the heartbeat, the throb, has been taken so far out of context that it's all about me. When's somebody going to... You know, I'm sick and tired of everybody saying they've gotten blessed. When am I going to get mine? Well, if your heart is saying, when am I going to get mine so I can pass this on through me, it's not too far away for you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But that's a big difference, isn't it? That's a big difference. He said this again as we read and read again in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency... Isn't he descriptive here? In all things may abound to every good work. Now we said, and we read from the Greek 3 weeks ago, I think it was, 2 or 3 weeks ago, this word abound. It means superabound. It literally, I don't have to flower it up on the stage. I don't have to season it up and try to make that be descriptive. If you get a Strong's Concordance, you'll find that this is a superabound, meaning that the understanding of what he is saying here is this is not a squeaking by. This is pantries full. This is over an abundance. This is having it is superabundance. It is the word, in essence, superabundance. So Paul is not feeling goosebumps in the spirit in writing this. He's writing in a very, very faith-filled place. And the description by which he describes the grace of God, if you took the word all or always, it's mentioned 4 times in this short verse. If you just took that out, it would be a powerful verse, and you could read it like this, beginning again in verse 8, and God is able to make grace being God's unmerited favor, his strength in your weakness, and God is able to make grace abound toward you, that ye, having sufficiency in things, may abound to every good work. That's pretty powerful. That's real powerful. And yet, knowing what he put in there, it's very vanilla compared to when Paul says this, God is able to make all grace. Hallelujah. All grace. What is all grace? Abound towards you that ye always, at all times. The first part of this is grace. All grace, at all times. That is so powerful because you have to understand, to the man, to the woman who takes that, meditates it, and confesses it continually to where that polarizes inside of them, the picture of it, the meaning of it, and the reality begins to polarize. It becomes something on the inside of you that is not just scripture read. And I would encourage all of you that are seeking a place of a higher calling in your giving, where you're saying, God, if I'm giving it... Now listen, you have to have this understanding also. It doesn't mean it passes through you and leaves you poor and you had money come through you, you have to steward it, so it has to come to you first. So it benefits you first. And through that benefit, the church and the body of Christ becomes a beneficiary of your blessing. But having all, always, see, we just came through, and not just, because time goes by so fast. So it's been a number of years now. It's, I want to say two or three, but now it's, I don't know when the pinnacle point was. But when the economy was really good, and when you were maybe the last the economy was doing, maybe that was the best time for you, or maybe 10 years prior to that was doing, that was the best time for you. It's so easy. And I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm saying there's truth in here that we have not found, but we better find. It is so easy for the body of Christ in general during those upswings when you have those long tenures to say, I am being blessed of God. God is blessing us. And who's to say? Who's to say not? No, you're not being blessed. Genuinely, I really believe that God does bless those who put their faith towards Him. But when everybody is being blessed, what it normally is, mostly, what it really mostly is, unless somebody is in the blessing, when the economy's great, unless they're standing in this as if their life depended on it, usually what it is, it's a watershed of just, you are blessed because you're an American, and you are blessed because you're in a good economy. But you don't know until times like this hits how deep your roots go into what you're saying. But you get an opportunity at times like this to either change your confession or begin to look at these things in the reality. And Paul was saying, look, always, at all times, we say, I don't have a job, or I don't have this. Look, if you begin to believe this, He makes these words come to pass. If you begin to confess it hundreds of times, see, that's the problem. The body... You didn't know you were going to get two sermons today. I'm going to try to. The body does not believe the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, when it goes into that verse and it says this. This is what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report, on and on. And then he says this. Those who believe must believe that God is... Two parts. There's two parts to it. If you want to receive, you have to do, number one, you have to believe that God is, and not that He exists. Everybody believes that He exists. Believe He exists in the light of what you're believing Him for. Two parts to the equation. That He is, number two, backs up the first one. He is a rewarder of those who diligently, consistently, nonstop, on and on, seek Him. Hallelujah. See, if you said to me, Pastor, I believe that verse, then I'll say to you, okay, what are you doing to fulfill it? What are you doing? I'm not talking about if it's not yet. See, because all sufficiency always means in 2010, despite anything and everything that's going on, the picture that He is painting here when He says, all grace abound always, having all sufficiency, the first part is the grace. The second part, when He says all sufficiency, don't spiritualize this part. All sufficiency means bucks in the bank. It just means bucks in the bank. Having all sufficiency in all things may abound into every good work. Hallelujah. It's not like, now when's the church going to give me something? No, the whole heart of this is, When is this? God, I'm standing so this part can pass through me and I can be of a superabundance, letting this flow through me at all times. Hallelujah. Now, to have that image, and to walk in that where we see in 2010 who's really going to walk in it, because now the economy can't hide people. I mean, it doesn't mean that you weren't born again. It means where the rubber meets the road, were we really trusting in God, or were we just being part and partisan to a good American economy? But I'm telling you what, He wants you to know that if you believe that He is, the second part to the book of Hebrews, in that chapter 11, it means you are one that believes that He will reward those who consistently, diligently, nonstop, this is what that verse says, nonstop, consistently seek Him. Meaning this, if you believe it, then you'll have, let me put it street language, the guts, the intestinal fortitude to go ahead and do the second part of that and say, okay, what does your word say? Oh, I see it. This is what your word says. Then I will nonstop put that in my mouth, and I will speak it, and I will speak it, and I will speak it, and speak it, until the people around me say, would you go in the other room? I am tired of hearing you. You've said that 1,000 times today. No, because I believe Jesus is. He is my sufficiency. We're going to have what we say around here. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And if you don't do the other part, there's no need to say I believe the first part, because it just, they're bread and butter. They go together. Hallelujah. I believe in 2010 is a mighty year. Not for the body of Christ, but for those in the body of Christ who do this message. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Now this is what I say, Father, that this body is filled with a superabundance. To everyone in it who does this, Lord, you come and supply all of their need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, those intercessors and those ministry of helps that stand with me by day and by night, we make our confession in the house of the Lord. This house is filled with all abundance and a superabundance. This offering is blessed and is full and running over. Our baskets are full and running over unto all good measure. We have enough to bless those coming in and those going out, to bring them on their journey and send them on their journey, Father. And we thank you and we praise you. Now bless, I pray, speak to our hearts, those who have this morning, Father, I pray, out of that abundance that you've blessed. We receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're making out a check, would you make it to the Family Prayer Center? We'll get ready to give this, and then we will go home. What a wonderful word of the Lord this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for all of those who prayed and blessed our family over the weekend and prayed for us. We had a wonderful time, and we appreciate that. Hallelujah. How many are ready to stand and give and bring this down? You've been a great audience today. You'll want to greet one another as you bring this down. And we love you. Candy and I love you. God bless you as you stand this morning. And you'll bring this offering down, and this will be it. Thank you, Matt.